Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We had to postpone our Conrad's seafood until Friday. It's going to be even better on the Friday before Kentucky Derby. I'm going to have some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets to give away, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery, now included with our friends at Goodwill Industries and Window Nation, sponsoring the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. This guy took a little vacation from me last week. We had Seth Elkin on the program, but the director of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming joins us now. John Martin joins us now to talk about Betty Boop. You got Family Feud going on now too. I saw the Steve Harvey out on the front of the tickets, and I'm like, he's got a good gig, man. I always wanted to be Richard Dawson when I was a kid.
Yeah, that is a show that's got an incredible longevity. I mean, I don't even know. I The Price is Right, I think, is the longest running game show on television. But Family Feud has got to be up there. And yes, you go through the litany of the Richard Dawson years and now the Steve Harvey years. He's quite a talent. It is always an entertaining show. And we are very, very glad to have it as part of our family of scratch-off tickets. We've got a fun little commercial on too, so hopefully some of your folks have seen that on the air as well, and they're grabbing a ticket and having some fun with it.
Well, you know, the best part of Family Feud is the internet outtakes, the stuff that doesn't show up on the air, you know, the answers that you can't answer, or stuff when the whole set breaks down and it's a mess because they got to get the show in 22 minutes. But the tickets don't work that way. The tickets are they're not unscripted, but you got a chance to win. I playing the games is always the fun part because I see the branding on Betty Boop, but then I give some away over at Heavy Seas when we were doing the Crab Cake Tour a couple weeks ago, and the excitement that people get when they win $2 or $5. But learning the game is one thing, but then taking the app and, like, you know, using the phone and saying I'm a winner, I'm a loser. I've seen other people do it that way, but I like playing the game. Part of the Family Feud is the unpredictability of, like, anything can happen.
As we're fond of saying here, Nestor, and you know this, let yourself play. So we hope fans do play responsibly and they enjoy the games, whether they're scratch-off games or jackpot games. Hey, speaking of jackpot, how about that segue?
Big, you know, every time I pass one of the little scoreboards, I see that one's small, one's large, or both are getting larger. And then you look up and you see like $400 million and it starts to really get your attention.
That's real money, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. 400. As we were recording this in our luxurious studios, $454 million on the Powerball docket here this week. And of course, drawings now are Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So for folks that are
getting us early,
Powerball fans. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, also a lot of fun at this time, and we see more of it is workplaces, virtual notwithstanding, getting together and pooling their resources and buying tickets.
I don't want to share. I'm not a sharer. You know, I mean,
I've noticed that about you.
You know, we've contributed to this, just so you know, because my wife, we were at the Royal Farms in Hunt Valley, right off McCormick, or one of the spice roads where the giant Royal Farms. And I went in to get some fried chicken, and she went to the machine and got tickets. We have been contributing. We're following this jackpot. This one's getting like large, but there's a local jackpot that is about to become the biggest ever. Right? Am I right in saying that? Are we getting close?
We are now number two all time in our multi-match jackpot. Again, as we're recording this on Thursday of this week, $4.65 million is the multi-match, and that's only a Maryland in-state lotto game.
Yeah, you're not competing with everybody, because somebody always wins the Powerball or a multi. They're from Louisiana or they're from somewhere else. This is a guaranteed Maryland ticket winner here for almost $5 million right now.
Well, the guaranteed part is that they bought a ticket here. I mean, right. We could have those transients coming across the border. We don't check for IDs in terms of their state of residency. We do check for IDs in terms of their legal age.
I'm laughing because when Powerball first started, we didn't have it, and people would literally drive to Shrewsbury. My family did it. Drove to Shrewsbury, waited in line an hour to get – because – this is 30 years ago, right? So people were doing it. There's no doubt about that.
It wasn't even 30 years ago. I mean, the ability to cross sell both games was 2010. So it's still relatively
one or the other for jackpots. Okay.
Yeah, but multi-match, number two all time at 4.65 million. Insight is the all time $4.8 million on September 19th of 2009. So it's been that long since we've been in this rarefied air on multi-match. It's a fun game if you're not familiar with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I explained it to my wife because my wife bought, she put 10 bucks in to get, she got five tickets for the big game. And at the time it was only like 200 million. You know what I mean? Just something that would appeal to her. This is a week or two ago. She did this and I was explaining to her, I said, we're talking about, she's like, well, what is that like? I said, it's sort of like the state lotto, kind of sort of like, is that kind of right the way to say that?
Yeah, for a $2 wager, you get to either select six numbers from 1 to 43, or is it five numbers? Now you got me thinking about it.
Five and one, wasn't it?
No. Six keep talking one. while I figure this out.
You got to do the math. I mean, you're
yeah. You know absolutely. What? It is it is six numbers. I was right. I should never question myself, Nestor.
Well, you're usually right the first time.
I know. So lucky players can choose from numbers 1 to 43, six numbers on their own, or they can have the computer select those numbers.
Well, but you always remember that I'll take 36. You always remember that.
Right. So it's 36 plus five other numbers. but then the computer also generates two additional six-number picks. So you have 18 numbers in play for that draw, and you can win one of four ways. Each of the three lines of six you can win. And if you get six of six, you win the jackpot, which is now $4.65 million. Or you can combine all three lines. And based on the numbers drawn, if you win, you know, five or more, depending on how many, it's a scale, you win hundreds to thousands of dollars based on how many you match. So you have some fun with playing that fourth way where all numbers are in.
Well, I tell you what, on a draft weekend and people watching football and thinking sports wagering, I was up with Chris at Greenmount Station doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour a week and a half ago, watching the OTB, watching the games. Everybody's excited about stuff. Give me a little update on sports because you're getting month by month, you get numbers now. We're new. And February was going to be different because of Super Bowl, right? March Madness was expected to be something now. I don't know what happens the rest of it. I guess Kentucky Derby. I mean, there's a lot of things that are draft. The NFL draft is an interesting proposition for a lot of people at this point. But the sports wagering side of this, are we getting closer to getting more places open? Is that going to happen in this calendar year?
Chris was probably a good guy to ask that question of. I mean, Chris is one of the people at Greenmount Station who's in the next queue. We have, as your folks are well aware, we have five of the six casinos up and running and have been since December. And it is a roller coaster, you know, NFL playoffs in December and January, Super Bowl in February, March Madness. April through about September 1, it tends to really soften up. There aren't a lot of high profile events. And you mentioned obviously horse racing and some of the things that happen, but they are nowhere near the Super Bowl and March Madness in terms of volume.
Or even a NASCAR golf on the weekend. People wager on all of those kinds of things, but it's not the same thing. We all know why the NFL's king in this country, because that, you know, there's an inducement there and an expertise. People feel like they know something about it. You know, a lot of people feel like they know something about it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, people feel empowered. They know football, right? I mean, just, you know, back when you were doing all sports all the time, you know, people would be happy to tell you what was wrong with the Ravens or the O's or the Browns or the whoever, you know, but the one thing
I can never say is the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites this week. Bet the under, go bet it over. Like the vernacular is so familiar to all of us, but the fact that it's actually here and right around the corner is just so new for people. And we always say play responsibly. I want to give that out that if you're playing, but there is a part of this. And in my mind, I would go to Vegas and get action or play blackjack or play whatever your game is, right? It's like you with the lottery. The lottery's there all day, every day. It can be enjoyed like a blackjack game. You walk into a casino or you're getting a craps game. But sports wagering's different. You know, it's an event. It has to happen and you have to come to it. It's not there all the time the way Keno is.
Well, and it not only is it an event, it has become a national, international phenomenon. And you know what? And I'm not here to talk about the politics of it today, but the aggressive nature that states all over the country are getting into this and the legislation and the debates and the politicking that goes on state by state. This is an extremely complex process when you look at all of the states and jurisdictions who are trying to get in, and everyone's got this one-upsmanship mentality, right? I mean, they look at who's in the marketplace and how is their offering in their state going to be significantly different, because they're still hoping to attract people into their state as a destination if they can offer something a little different. And that's, I think, part of the challenge we're facing here in Maryland. People are so anxious to get into it. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. You know, we're going to be telling the same story now for the next several months. And I don't know that the players want to hear that. Players want to hear, you know, next Thursday.
You know what? Come on now. You and I, it feels like 5 minutes ago, you were trying to get these casinos open and worried that when it would happen and how it would happen and it's work and it's out of your hands to some degree. These things do happen. Something a little slower, like the toothpaste coming out of the tube, but they do. This is happening and it's coming, and we've all seen it and experienced it. But there is the point where, like, if they're coming for numbers in June or July, there's not much to sports wager on. And I think we sort of all knew that going in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, what we've been trying to do is be consistent and transparent from December. When we launched the five casinos in December, there was a lone voice in the wilderness saying, hey, you know what? This is great. We're excited. We're thrilled. Mobile wagering is really where the industry is, and we're going to be every bit of a year from now before we can get into the mobile wagering. Well, people chose not to hear that part. They figured assumptively, we've got, you know, the Super Bowl, fine, so let's go to mobile. Well, it's not that quick a jump. There's a lot of work that has to happen behind the scenes, and our friends at the SWARC working very, very diligently with now an outside consultant to do an industry analysis so that we can be compliant with the law, which is unique in Maryland. Different than any other jurisdiction in the sports wagering marketplace in the country, not even close.
How is that? Can you explain anything? How we're different than the other places, not even close?
Yeah, we're very different in two very key areas that people either choose to ignore or don't want to believe. And first was the creation of the SWARC, the Sports Wagering Application Review Commission. Although ironically, and I can't remember which jurisdiction it was, I just saw last week while I was sitting poolside and baking in the hot Florida sun, that I saw some other state is putting together a similar external commission. They must have looked at the Maryland law and said, boy, this is a good idea. I wish they would have called me first, but that's okay. And, you know, it's a challenge when you have now a different entity involved, and the two of you have to kind of, you know, find that rhythm between Maryland Lottery and Gaming and the SWARC to put in place sports wagering licenses. So that's the first distinction.
It's a checks and balances situation, right? We're talking about a lot of money here, and we're talking about an industry that either didn't exist or existed in a black market way. You know, and for as long as our grandparents were alive, it existed in a black market way. So for the government to get involved in this, be anti-government, be whatever you want, but it has to be on the up and up. I use that term every week. It's my dad's term. It makes me think of him, but it has to be on the up and up, and making it on the up and up involves more than just John making law or making the rules.
Well, and even more importantly in Maryland is that the legislators took it upon themselves correctly to try to level the playing field and make it more equitable for all participants, primarily small businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, to have a seat at the table and participate as equity partners in this and not just as players. And to do that requires a significant amount of analysis and study to make sure that there's an equity and an inclusionary aspect of it, which, again, is unique. I'm not aware of any other state that has done that, which is why when you hear and see things like, well, fill in the blank, New York, Arizona, Louisiana, Connecticut, whatever, they're up and running. Well, they're up and running because they don't have a second commission to deal with, and they don't have minority inclusionary action steps. If we didn't have either of those, you know what? We'd have been up and running 12 months ago too, but that's not the way the process is here. And that I can only manage the process that's handed to me. And today we're going to still wait for the industry analysis to be conducted, reviewed by the SWARC. Regulations have to be promulgated, put out there, applications open up, people can then apply. Now, to help that, we're going to go through a very strong outreach program on Friday, May 6th, here at Montgomery Park Business Center in beautiful southern part of downtown Baltimore. We will be hosting an informational session to invite people who think they may want to get into this market, primarily the small women-owned, minority-owned businesses, to come to hear an information session, talk to experts, hear what it takes, get informed to see if it is still something you want to participate in.
Well, I to your point, if we went to Annapolis right now, if I had any legislators say, we have the most fair in the other places, some Mr. Big came in from Vegas and plopped down a casino and that state was okay with that. Here, we had to allow that to happen too, but we're giving Chris a chance at Green Mountain Station, people like Chris, anybody that's in business, a chance to do this. So I, from that perspective, the more we talk about it, the more sense it makes to me, but the more I feel better about the process in regard to inclusion of people, that it's not just Mr. Big getting to play.
Oh, you should. You should feel very good about it. And I think most informed Marylanders do, Nestor. You know, you're always going to have those people out there. And again, I'm going back to your sports days. I mean, when you would have people call in or you'd have sports fanatics, and I use that term fanatics in all caps, you know, sometimes logic takes a little break. You know, they're not really thinking clearly. They're thinking, you know, they're being emotional. They're thinking from the heart, not from the head. And, you know, they want it and they want it now.
I'm laughing at you because I had a Facebook conversation with a young lady this morning about my fanatic, my fanism, or what creates a real fan. And I'm like, all right, man, I can't wait to read your book on that. You know, I'm like, I want to read the brochure on how to be a real fan. Let me know how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm such a fan, I bought a radio station to talk about sports. Crazy. I'm out of my mind, John. I should have gone and worked for the Swark.
You know what? And that may still be an option. Who knows?
They may throw me out of here before it's all over. John Martin's here for the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to have some Betty Boop tickets to give away on the 6th with Conrad Seafood. We had to move the show from the 27th to the 6th. We hope to see everybody next Friday. I'm going to be doing speaking about inclusion and crab cakes. Everybody's going to be included in the crab cake tour in May and June and July as we take the Maryland crab cake tour back. And maybe I'll get some Family Feud tickets to, you know, at some point next month or something like that. But it's Betty Boop for right now. People like the pink ones more than the blue ones. I don't know if they're more lucky or not, John. Anything you want to say about football before, you know, we go, because it's draft week, Ravens. If we're going to talk a little smack, this is the week to do it, I think.
You know what? It's draft week, and I've been watching draft week now for a long time. I can't.
Well, you usually pick early.
Yeah, right. And I don't remember a draft class I was less a fan of than this one. I mean, I can't even tell you who the top five potential prospects are on the board. I wouldn't know them if I stumbled over them.
So yeah, everyone's kicking this draft around a little bit, and you know, we're sitting on all these picks. We're going to see what the names that come out of the hopper in the end. But COVID's been really weird for sports all the way around, whether it's college basketball, even College World Series right now. So many young people have had shutdown. Even the minor leagues with the Orioles. When I talked to Luke about a lot of these minor league players, their growth was sort of stunted by not having real baseball 20, half baseball in 21 and all that. So looking at it, there's been less tape to lay down, less normalcy. If you're a senior this year, your sophomore and junior years were all screwed up. Your off season was screwed up. So I do, you know, I have sensitivity to that for anybody. I have an intern coming in who calls herself a COVID kid because she's going into her junior year of college. So her whole senior year was honk the horn, no prom, like all of that. So all of those 2020 babies are weird to me. So I think the draft, the kick around about these players is a little bit, a lot of them haven't had a chance to really perform, to be really honest with you. You get so much football, even if you're at Ohio State, right?
And right. And my beloved, you know, Browns have been blasted for their, you know, three number one draft picks that they offered in the trade. And I would just point to the fact that, you know, since they've come back in 1999, I don't think they've had three good drafts of number one pick ever. You know, you could pick three, and for the most part, they don't pick well at the number one spot.
I can name all the busts before I can name anybody. Oh, I give you every Cameron Wembley and every Tim Couch. Well, I mean, again, not the bust on the Browns too much, but you did pick kind of early most nights. You know, when the draft started, you're on the clock pretty quickly and always getting one of the names that we were never going to get because we're picking 26th or whatever. That you talking about the draft was something that was a I was the first one to do it, John. I mean, 96, 97, 98, befriended Phil Savage, Eric DaCosta, yeah. Joe Ortiz, all these guys that are still around because we stunk. We're 4-12. We're 5-11. We're picking fourth, Peter Boulware. We're picking, 10th, Chris McAllister. And that really solidified my love of football was the draft. It's the portal with which you grow, and you win championships when you draft Joe Flacco's and you draft Terrell Suggs's. And no offense to the Browns, but when you miss, you wind up not picking next year because they replace you and there's another person picking. We've never had that issue here, and I think it's made our fan base a little bit more solid that Ozzie and Eric have always been in charge of this weekend, and it's made for a more educated fan base, I think, in my opinion, in the modern era. People that follow the draft love football.
Oh, sure. Sure. No doubt. And you would think have all those years of picking at the top of the draft, they'd have done better. I mean, when you're picking in the top three or four and you've got the entire population of eligible players, how do you swing and miss so often? It's unfathomable to me. You know, the Trent Richardsons, the Courtney Browns, people who were came out of college high profile and just stunk out the joint.
It goes back to leadership, and I'll continue to say that in regard to the Browns, in regard to the Orioles, the Ravens, whoever it is, you got a leader, and you're the leader of the Maryland Lottery. John Martin is here. If anybody has any lottery problems, it's John's fault. It's leadership. He is the director of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming. I got the Betty Boop cards. We'll be giving away. Hopefully get some winners next week. Meet me up in Perry Hall at Conrad Seafood on the 6th between 2 and 5. And I'm going to have a whole roster of Maryland Crab Cake dates in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries and our friends at Window Nation. The only parting shot for me here, John, I took it to football. We got any more lottery news that I didn't get in here this week?
You know, people should go to mdlottery.com. We've got great winner stories each and every week. A guy that was on vacation came back and realized he had won $50,000 from Powerball because he didn't take the time to think, to look at his ticket while he was on vacation.
I found tickets in the hutch of the car from a couple months ago, and I said to my wife, they don't look like they have your fingerprints on them. Have they been checked? So I still have tickets around here that my wife purchases because she doesn't always check. She'll buy a $400 million ticket, and if she didn't win, she won. Yeah, I didn't win. Somebody in Texas won or whatever. You know, you got to check your tickets. You get second chance. Come on.
Absolutely. Because even at these great dollar amounts, you know, $400 million plus, we have 9 tiers of winners. So even if you didn't win the top prize, you can still win a significant prize. And so everybody should always be checking their tech.
Don't throw away a $100 ticket. I found that out when I gave one away at Costas, and a young lady jumped up. I want $100. I'm like, the first thing I think is, are you sure? Let me see. You know, let me check it. It's the first thing you say when you win $2. You're like, I won $2. You're not like, are you sure? But when you win $100 or $50 on a scratch off, believe me, they come up to me and want me to verify it. I said, if the app says you won, you won. Go cash a ticket. John Martin is here. He's here to help you cash tickets and to educate us. And we always have some fun around here. It's been good having you back on. Missed you last week. And I do hope we get a crab cake together soon.
Absolutely. Good.
John Martin, director of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming, but not the SWARC, and certainly not the Cleveland Browns draft picks at this point. Luke is covering all things draft. I have gone deep, deep, deep into the hole on the pitch down at M&T Bank Stadium about all things World Cup in 2026. So whether it's Steve Goff, Kenny Cooper, the great Kenny Cooper came back and visited this week. Incredible. We had Grant Wall on talking soccer. So big, big doings here. If you're a Baltimore Positive person, a Baltimore Positive fan, pulling for the World Cup to come here in 2026. So lots of sports, a little bit of lottery, and a lot of fun. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.